and welcome to your GCSE History Revision podcast. I'm so glad you've pressed play, because today we are diving into one of the most fascinating periods in English history, early Elizabethan England, from 1558 to 1588. This is a topic that examiners absolutely love, and once you understand the big picture, the details just click into place. So settle in, grab a pen if you want to jot things down, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. When Elizabeth I came to the throne in November 1558, she inherited a kingdom in real trouble. Her half-sister Mary I had left England financially weakened, religiously divided, and internationally humiliated. Calais, England's last territory in France, had just been lost. And here was Elizabeth, 25 years old, a woman in a world that believed women couldn't rule, and with a legitimacy question hanging over her head because her father, Henry VIII, had declared her illegitimate back in 1536. Not exactly the dream start, is it? But Elizabeth was extraordinarily shrewd, and over the next 30 years, she would transform England into a stable, confident nation. That transformation is what this topic is all about. Now, let's talk about the challenges Elizabeth faced in 1558, because examiners love asking you to explain why her position was so difficult. I want you to remember the acronym LGFRS. That stands for legitimacy, gender, finance, religion, and succession. Legitimacy first. Many Catholics across Europe, and some in England, did not accept Elizabeth as the rightful queen. In their eyes, Henry VIII's marriage to her mother Anne Boleyn had never been valid, which meant Elizabeth was illegitimate. The Pope certainly took that view. This mattered enormously because it gave her enemies a legal-sounding justification for trying to remove her. Gender was the second challenge. In 1558, the idea of a female ruler was genuinely controversial. John Knox, a Scottish Protestant reformer, had published his famous pamphlet, The First Blast of the Trumpet Against the Monstrous Regiment of Women, that very year. His argument was that female rule was unnatural and against God's will. Elizabeth had to work twice as hard to command respect and authority. Finance. Elizabeth inherited a near-bankrupt treasury. Wars under Mary I had been expensive, crown lands had been sold off, and debts were mounting. This limited what Elizabeth could actually do. She couldn't afford a large standing army, which made her vulnerable. Religion. England had been swinging between Catholicism and Protestantism for 20 years. Henry VIII had broken with Rome, Edward VI had pushed Protestant reforms, Mary I had restored Catholicism and burned nearly 300 Protestants. By 1558, the country was deeply divided and exhausted by religious change. And finally, succession. Elizabeth had no heir. Parliament and her councillors desperately wanted her to marry and produce a Protestant successor. But marriage was politically dangerous. The wrong husband could drag England into foreign wars or undermine her authority. Elizabeth used the question of marriage brilliantly as a diplomatic tool, keeping foreign powers hoping she might marry one of their princes. Clever. Right, let's move on to the religious settlement of 1559, because this is absolutely central to the whole topic, and examiners will test you on it repeatedly. Elizabeth's solution to the religious problem was what historians call the middle way. The key word there is compromise. She needed a settlement the Protestants could accept without driving Catholics to open rebellion. In 1559, Parliament passed two crucial acts. The Act of Supremacy made Elizabeth the supreme governor of the Church of England. Note, not supreme head, as Henry VIII had been. That subtle change was deliberate. It was slightly less offensive to Catholics who couldn't accept a woman as head of the church. The Act of Uniformity established one form of worship for the whole country, based on a new Protestant prayer book. Crucially, the wording of the communion service was kept deliberately vague. It could be interpreted in both a Protestant and a Catholic way. That was intentional. Elizabeth wanted as many people as possible to attend church without feeling they were betraying their faith. The settlement also kept some Catholic features. Bishops remained, church decoration was allowed, clergy wore vestments. This is why Puritans, the more extreme Protestants, were unhappy. They wanted a much more thorough Protestant Reformation. Now, here is a really important exam point. Examiners often ask candidates to compare the Puritan and Catholic challenges. In this period, up to 1569, the Catholic challenge was far more serious than the Puritan one. The Puritans were a nuisance, but they weren't plotting to overthrow the Queen. The Catholics, backed by foreign powers, were a genuine existential threat.
Let's talk about the Catholic challenge in more detail. The threat came from several directions. First, there were Catholic nobles within England, particularly in the north, where Catholicism remained strong. Second, there were foreign powers, Spain under Philip II, France, and the Pope himself. In 1570, Pope Pius V issued a papal bull called Regnans in Excelsis, which excommunicated Elizabeth and released her Catholic subjects from their loyalty to her. This effectively told Catholics that removing Elizabeth was not just permitted, but a religious duty. From the 1570s onwards, the Catholic threat intensified with the arrival of seminary priests, trained at colleges in Douai in the Spanish Netherlands, who came to England secretly to keep the Catholic faith alive. Then came the Jesuits from 1580, including Edmund Campion and Robert Parsons. Campion was captured and executed in 1581. The government responded with increasingly harsh laws, fines for not attending Church of England services, and eventually the death penalty for harbouring priests. Now we come to Mary, Queen of Scots, and this is where the story gets really dramatic. Mary was Elizabeth's cousin, the granddaughter of Henry VIII's sister, Margaret Tudor. She was Catholic, and many Catholics considered her the rightful Queen of England. In 1568, Mary's position in Scotland collapsed after a series of catastrophic political mistakes. Her husband, Lord Darnley, was murdered. She then married the Earl of Bothwell, who was suspected of the murder, and the Scottish Protestant nobles rose against her. She fled to England, throwing herself on Elizabeth's mercy. This put Elizabeth in an impossible position. She couldn't send Mary back, she'd likely be executed. She couldn't let her go free, she'd become a rallying point for Catholic enemies. She couldn't execute her, Mary was an anointed queen. So Elizabeth delayed. Mary was placed under house arrest for the next 19 years. Almost immediately, Mary's presence caused trouble. In 1569, the Northern Rebellion broke out. The Catholic earls of Northumberland and Westmoreland raised around 6,000 men, celebrated Mass in Durham Cathedral, and demanded Mary be recognised as Elizabeth's heir. The rebellion was crushed. Elizabeth executed around 800 rebels. But it showed just how dangerous Mary's presence was. Right, let's shift to exam technique. When you see explain why, give multiple explained causes using the Peel structure. Point, evidence, explanation, link. When you see how useful is this source, analyse the content, the provenance, and identify limitations. Always reach a judgment. For how far do you agree questions, argue both sides and reach a clear conclusion. Common mistakes every year. Candidates confuse the 1559 religious settlement with later religious policies. It was a compromise, not a strongly Protestant document. Candidates overstate the Puritan threat. In this period, Puritans were not plotting rebellion. And candidates just tell the story of Mary, Queen of Scots, instead of explaining why she was a threat. Quickfire recall quiz. Question 1. What year did Elizabeth come to the throne? 1558. Question 2. Name the two acts of the 1559 religious settlement, the Act of Supremacy and the Act of Uniformity. Question 3. When did Pope Pius V excommunicate Elizabeth? 1570. Question 4. Why did Mary flee to England in 1568? Scottish Protestant nobles rose against her after she married the Earl of Bothwell, suspected of murdering Lord Darnley. Question 5. What was the Northern Rebellion? A Catholic uprising in 1569 by the Earls of Northumberland and Westmoreland, demanding Mary be recognised as heir. To wrap up, Elizabeth faced challenges of legitimacy, gender, finance, religion, and succession in 1558. Her 1559 religious settlement created a middle way. The Catholic challenge was far more serious than the Puritan one. Mary, Queen of Scots, arrived in 1568 and immediately became a focal point for opposition. shown by the Northern Rebellion of 1569. Examiners reward specific knowledge, analytical writing, and clear judgment. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing, and good luck. See you next time.